Hello, tourists. Welcome to tour number 113 of Disney Conversations. I'm your host, Magical Matthew, and joining me today is tour guide Diane Whiting. We're going to take a look at the Epcot area resorts. We're going to give you a comparison of what they have in the way of rooms, food, things to do. Who knows? Might even be a Doug moment or two that come along. But we're excited to talk about this, and we hope you're excited to hear about it. What do you say we get this show on track? All aboard! Well, hello, tourists. Welcome to tour number 113. Diane and I are going to continue our comparisons by looking at the Epcot area resorts, and we're even going to do a flyby of the Swan, the Dolphin, and the Swan Reserve. I don't know how much you guys want to know about that, but we're going to give you whatever information we can find. Let's start, however, by saying hello to one of our favorite tour guides, Diane Whiting. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Matthew. How's it going?
Well, I'm about to melt like a fried egg on the cement, but, You know.
I hear you. But I'm not.
I guess I don't have too much to complain about because I've been watching feeds from Disney World and They're having heat indexes of like 120. So
it's miserable there in an ordinary summer, and I hear it's off the charts now. But I'm not complaining about summer because I don't have to shovel summer or negotiate it on the road. I'm good.
We've looked at a number of resorts along the way. And I think this pretty much wraps up our current series that took us a few months to get through. Looking at the resorts around the Epcot area, which is basically out the back door of Epcot. You go out through the International Gate, the resorts are all there. They're within walking distance, but like if we talk about the Swan Reserve, it's the longest walk from the International Gate, and I want to say that took us about 20 minutes, maybe a little more, to get over there. And I was on a scooter, but I could only scoot as fast as people could walk. So I thought we'd go ahead and start with probably one of our favorites, the Beach Club, and work our way around the lake from there. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right, so Disney's Beach Club Resort. Probably best known for beaches and cream, to be quite honest, at least for many of us, because some of us just can't really afford to stay there. But I've been in the lobby several times. It's beautiful. I love the way it's decorated, and Christmas time is definitely a time to go visit that resort. But tell us some things we might not think about, Diane.
I really love Beach Club, mainly for the convenience to Epcot. If you are staying at Epcot during any one of the festivals, which kind of are pretty much year round now, you really can't beat that. You can't beat getting to that International Gateway and being right there at the France Pavilion to ride Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. As soon as the park opens, you really won't need to use Genie Plus for that ride because you're right there. Now it's at the complete opposite end of the park from Guardians, so plan accordingly, but you can knock Remy off your list right away and head over to Frozen. I love the ambiance of that resort. It's very turn of the century, kind of Cape May, New Jersey. It has a little bit of a Victorian feel, but it doesn't really smack you upside the head with it like the Grand Floridian does. It's very laid back. It's bright, happy colors. I love how they decorate it inside. It just feels like summer in the Beach Club. They have a really great pool. Arguably one of the best pools on property. I wish it was a little shadier during the day. It's also extremely popular because it has a lazy river. It's a sandy bottom pool. You have Beaches and Cream, window right there to load up on giant ice cream sundaes while you're lying in the sun, just living your best Disney life. And so it's extremely popular for that reason. It also has a DVC component. And so you will have DVC members there as well. it can be kind of a crowded resort. Sometimes it is hard to get a room there, and it's one of the more expensive resorts because of its popularity. If you're there, though, you can watch Epcot fireworks. You can sometimes see the Hollywood Studios if they're doing any kind of fireworks show. It's just a great location. I also love Cape May Cafe. That is a buffet, character buffet for breakfast, and it's one of my favorites. It just recently came back, and they kind of they have the Fab Four. They're missing Mickey, but it is they're decorated in turn of the century swimsuits, and it's just really a cute breakfast buffet. Dinner is more of a seafood buffet, so I don't always, you know, go to that. It's okay. Right. I think it's a little more expensive, and I don't know that I would go there for dinner. I think they restrict how many crab legs you can get now. It used to be unlimited, but then people would go and eat a wheelbarrow full of crab legs.
If I remember correctly, they're actually charging extra for the crab legs.
There you go. So you can see, right. So you can see how that is. That's, yeah, they're $29 a pound. So in addition to your $46 for the regular buffet, if you want the snow crab legs, you're going to pay an extra $29 per pound. So honestly, I don't think it's worth it for dinner. It's a great breakfast. Plus you get the characters. So I would recommend definitely going for breakfast. They serve salted caramel beach buns with vanilla cream, which are super cute and, you know, really yummy. They've got omelet, carving station, all the classic Disney breakfast foods. You really can't go wrong with breakfast. That's $45 per adult, but you get Minnie and Goofy and Donald and Daisy in swimwear. So really, really fun photo ops. I like
that. Sounds cute.
Yeah, I love Cape May Cafe. They've also got, besides beaches and cream, I really do like their quick service, the Beach Club Marketplace. You can get like a hot meal. They'll give you like a breakfast plate and stuff. You can get like the Mickey waffles and bacon. It's really big and expansive. It's part of their store right there. But everything is under $15 for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So it's a pretty decent quick service option. It is kind of the standard bounty platter breakfast sandwich, but it's not bad, and it's right there, and it's not super expensive, and they have a pretty good bakery case as well. So yeah, I kind of, you know, that's one of the better quick service options at the Epcot resorts. And then they also have a really nice pool bar. So if you're out there spending a pool day, that's great. I also recommend the Ale and Compass for breakfast. I hear that is outstanding since it's kind of come back and been revamped a little since COVID. And it would be like worth going there, even if you're not staying there, especially if you are staying at like Boardwalk or even the Swan and Dolphin. The breakfast buffet is just $23, which, are you kidding? So definitely, you know, check that out. I hear it's really good. They've got fruit and yogurt parfaits and pastry and granola, cheddar biscuits and gravy, cinnamon rolls. And then you get a choice of one of their entrees, including either crab cake, eggs Benedict, or a dark chocolate waffle, or, you know,
that would be me right there.
Shrimp and grits, caramel apple French toast, and then coffee, tea, juice, and soft drinks are included too, unlimited. So that is a steal. And I am going to make sure that I get breakfast there the next time I go, and I will report back with my face covered with chocolate waffles. But definitely check that out. Yachtsman is there too. And, you know, we've talked about these restaurants before, but Yachtsman, excellent steaks, signature restaurant. Pricey. I might choose Shula's over Yachtsman, and Shula's is just over there at the Swalfin. So we'll get to that in a minute as well. But if you're staying at either the Yachtsman or Beach Club and you just want a steak and you just want to stay where you're at, it's an excellent restaurant. Mm-hmm. Just be prepared to pay signature prices for that. There's really, you know, Beaches and Cream is a soda shop. So much fun. Great sundaes, great shakes. lots of calories, lots of fat, just everything you want in a vacation meal. And absolutely.
Won't slow you down a bit.
No, not at all. Well, all you have to do is like stagger to your poolside chair. So if you can do that after you've eaten your No Way Jose Sunday, then you're good. It's just a really fun resort that really makes you feel like you are on vacation. They're really right. close to the Fantasia Gardens miniature golf course. They've got a little marina with boat rentals. They've got tennis and volleyball, jogging. They've got the arcade. And since they are a deluxe resort, of course, they've got the fitness center and all the usual stuff, the campfire and roasted marshmallows and movies under the stars. You can also rent a poolside cabana there. To really make your day at Stormalong Bay, you know, extra comfortable because, like I said, the shade, sometimes Disney forgets that you need lacking. Shade. Yeah. So, yeah. And it's a very popular pool. And so the chairs are always in demand. So if you want to ensure that you get a spot and you can keep it all day, look into their cabana rentals.
Yeah, get the cabana.
Because if you decide you're going to spend, you know, an hour in the lazy river, well, they're going to take your towels and move them. Right. So I would definitely look into that. We did that at Typhoon Lagoon and it was completely worth it. So definitely look into that if you're going to spend a day at Stormalong Bay.
And if I'm not mistaken, Stormalong Bay is also used by Yacht Club.
It is.
Which is another reason why it's full. But Yacht Club, essentially, if I understand it correctly, is pretty much a twin resort to Beach Club.
Yes. Slightly different, slightly further up the coast of the eastern seaboard of the United States. It is more of a New England feel, where you have the white wood and the painted bright colors of Beach Club. Yacht Club is more elegant. It's the dark woods and the sailing boats. And
it's got a quieter feel to it.
It is. It's got a Martha's Vineyard type of feel, Nantucket, that type of feel. And it is also a convention hotel. So it's a little more adult. Not saying that kids won't love it. They absolutely will. But you're going to get a different vibe from Yacht Club. I think it's a beautiful resort. I think it's really elegant. I think, you know, they've got the same amenities as Beach Club, but it has just a more adult vibe to it. So, you know, if you're going just as adults without any children, then you might want to look into Yacht Club a little more. You know, it's more of the color scheme is more navy and tan and dark wood. It's really pretty. The rooms, all the deluxe rooms sleep five because they've got two queen size beds and then a day bed. They all accommodate the same amount of people. With Beach Club, you can rent Disney Vacation Club points because they have DVC rooms, which can take you all the way up to a three-bedroom grand villa, from a studio to a three-bedroom grand villa. So Yacht Club, there is no DVC component, so you can only get the standard type of hotel room. I'm guessing they have concierge though and some suites, but they're really, you know, really nice and pretty and elegant and quiet rooms. It's a quiet resort. If you want to escape from Disney, you just don't want Mickey in your face every day and Disney songs and music, and you just need a little bit of a break to kind of decompress, Yacht Club is a really nice resort. And again, the same food options between both. It's you can walk from, you know, one side to the other. Ale and Compass is technically in Yacht Club. Yachtsman, obviously, in Yacht Club. Yeah. But the restaurants are interchangeable. And even on the Disney site, they are listed together. Yacht Club is also beautiful at Christmas. But again, just very much a more elegant, upscale, adult vibe to it.
And I think for me, between the two, I would probably choose Yacht, because when I'm on vacation, I sometimes like to have the feeling of actually relaxing, especially if I've been 8 hours in a 100-degree park. I definitely
chewed
need some time to relax.
Spit out by the Disney machine. Yep.
Yes.
It's always best to be spit out on a poolside chair at Stormalong Bay.
I really want to try that one of these days. Yeah. And the water slide, to access it, you have to actually go out of the main area of Stormalong, cross the walkway and climb up. Is it a pirate ship?
It is a pirate ship. It is so cool. Here's the thing, too, though. If you're bringing your kids, particularly, I would say, children from age 8 to 13 or 14, you're going to be hard-pressed to get them away from that pool. It's just so much fun. It's like a little mini water park. And that's not a bad thing. Definitely work a pool day or a pool evening into your schedule. You know, it makes them tired. That's always good. And it gives you a breather. So those pools are very popular. Do not think you're going to stay at Beach Club and say to your kids, no, we got to get in the parks. We got too much to do. You know, mom wants to walk around Epcot and dad and mom want to, you know, shop. No, you're going to be at the pool. So
yeah.
If you want to do that, go to a different resort.
Well, and I've heard people have come back from there, and the highlight of the kids' week was Storm Along Bay.
It usually is, and it is well worth it. I mean, I always plan down days and pool days into my vacation because 3 days at Disney and, you know, you've hit the wall.
You need a
hard
break.
Hard.
Yeah.
And so you really do need time to recoup. Don't think that even if this is like your one trip of a lifetime, you can just push. You really can't. You need time to rest. Your body is going to give out on you. And, you know, then
it
you
will
hit
rebel on you if you keep going.
Then it's meltdown time, and not just children.
No.
Have meltdowns in Disney. We've all witnessed that family that has just absolutely lost it. And, you know, if I thought it would be helpful, I would say, I think you maybe should have scheduled a pool day. But, you know, probably not
the
time.
It's too late.
Exactly. I don't think they would find my advice helpful at all. So, yeah. So if you love spending time at your resort, if your resort is an important part of your vacation, if it's not just somewhere where you are showering and sleeping and that's it, then either one of these resorts is going to give you just everything you would want in a resort hotel and just such fun amenities and such a great location. And we can talk about the transportation for every one of these resorts around Crescent Lake because you can walk very quickly. If you are at Beach Club or Boardwalk, it's like 5 minutes into Epcot, especially right. if you're in a DVC room at Beach Club. A little bit further from Swan and Dolphin and Yacht Club, but honestly, it's not bad. I've made it in 10 minutes, but I tend to, you know, really power walk there in the morning.
Push it a little bit.
Yeah. You can also take the friendship boats to Hollywood Studios or Epcot, and I recommend those two. And there's a dock at each resort, and I can't remember the route, but it'll pick you up at Beach Club, and they go to Boardwalk, and then go to Swan and Dolphin. It makes the rounds, and then it drops you off at whichever theme park you want to go to that day. Right. Obviously, separate routes for Hollywood Studios and for Epcot. Or you can walk over to the International Gateway and get on the Skyliner and head over to Hollywood Studios. So that is just another added plus and a great option for these resorts.
If you really need to get your steps in because you're not going to get enough in the park, there's a path that walks the way over to the studios.
Yes. And it's not that bad. I know from Boardwalk, again,
it's
that
about a mile long.
That only took me about 10, 12 minutes from Boardwalk.
Yeah.
So it's not awful. Now, granted, I'm a fast walker, but it is definitely an option. And if the Skyliner's down, if there's any kind of a line, if the boats look like they're slow, just put your walking shoes on and go for it and right. work off that all the sundaes you ate at Beaches and Cream. Or save up, get a calorie, you know, deficit going so you can load up later. Totally worth it. Also, just a little hint, and one of my favorite things to do is nothing really at World Showcase is open before 11 a.m. except in the France Pavilion. So you can stop for breakfast at Les Halles, the bakery there, and get some really great food to start your Epcot day after you ride Remy.
Or if you're like us and you get in line for Remy and it's ready to open and everybody starts walking out, they got the little place right. We had ice cream crepes for breakfast.
Oh, yes. I love crepes. I used to live in Paris when I was in school for a semester, and I had crepes every single day. So, yep.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with ice cream at 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. That's
You're
fine.
In Disney. my breakfast choice is a cupcake, or I've had donuts from Everglazed, or, you know, whatever kind of pastry is going on there. Yeah. Yeah. I eat healthy when I come home.
Well, and now, and like you said, and this is just, yeah, we're going on off a trail. Welcome to Disney Conversations. When you're done with Remy, like you said, you walk over to Frozen. However, mm-hmm. you have to keep in mind, you got to walk the long way around to Frozen, because you cannot go from France past the American Adventure.
Yes.
You have to go through Canada and back around that way.
You do.
To get to Frozen to do it. So you got a little bit of a hike if that's how you choose to do it.
Correct. And if you're headed to Guardians after that, it's an even longer hike.
Right.
So load up on the pastries at Les Halles. You're going to burn them off by the time you...
Before you get the Guardians, those are gone.
They're gone. So you can get another one while you're there. You can get a donut, King Donut, at one of the Joffrey carts.
There you go.
Not that I've done that every single day when I'm there. Twice.
Mm-hmm. You lie, I'll swear to it.
I know. We just need to call this Disney Confessions. I'm so bad that when
sounds
I'm
like
there.
That sounds like an episode all on its own right there.
Yeah.
So we've talked about the beach club. We've talked about yacht club. I think it's time to swing over to the boardwalk. And I think for me, the biggest drawback to boardwalk is anything you might want to access as far as food or anything is actually out front.
It is, except for the Bellevue Lounge, which is on the boardwalk inside. Boardwalk is one of my favorite resorts. I absolutely love it there. And honestly, given a choice between all of the Crescent Lake resorts, I'm probably going to choose Boardwalk every time. It's set up with the lobby area in the middle, and then to one side is all Disney Vacation Club, and to the other side is the Boardwalk Inn, which is their regular hotel side. It is also themed to, I'm going to say it's more of an Edwardian type theme, starting in the Edwardian era, going up to maybe like the 1920s. And it is the boardwalk. Again, it's got a very Cape May vibe. It's got a very not quite Atlantic City, but, you know, Jersey Shore vibe.
Yeah.
Which is where I grew up. So I love it there. It's just a fun, really lighthearted resort. They are refurbing it now. I believe the boardwalk inside is finished, and they are redoing quite a few of the food options on the boardwalk. So they're getting rid of the ESPN Club, which I didn't really think fit there. And they've got the Cake Bake Shop coming, which is just a beautiful establishment. I've seen photos of it online. They have cake bake shops in, I want to say somewhere in the Midwest. I'm thinking Indiana, but I could be totally wrong about that.
Right.
But if you Google the Cake Bake Shop, you can see what it's like. And it's beautiful. And so that is a much needed kind of sit down, lighter food type of restaurant for Boardwalk. They have an ice cream shop there. It used to be Ample Hills, but they went out of business. And so this now, I believe, is owned by Disney. And it is just a really nice vibe in the evenings to go there and to check out all of the food options right on the boardwalk. I mean, it feels very beachy, even though you're bordering a lake. And like the ice cream, get there and sit down and just enjoy everything that's going on there. It's so much fun. Now this was pre-COVID, and I think it's kind of all coming back. They used to have buskers on the boardwalk. So jugglers, and there was a really cute girl that used to do hula hoops and that sort of entertainment. There's like the kinds of games that you would find on the boardwalk, like sort
of
arcade
games. Usually some kind
of
live music too.
Yes, there is. There's Surrey bikes. So it's very lively, and you could just walk. It's a nice walk back and forth, and it's really a really pleasant way to spend an evening, even if you are not staying at the boardwalk. You can certainly go there at any point in time and be able to eat there, take part in all the fun, shop. Mm-hmm. They have an art gallery there. They have a pretty extensive store that I really like. And it's got some unique souvenirs. It does have some boardwalk specific merchandise. It's just really a fun, fun resort to hang out at.
Something to think about. If you're at Epcot and you happen to be staying at one of the Skyliner resorts, it'd be very easy to come out of Epcot, walk around the boardwalk, take some of that in. Now, be aware of your time, because the Skyliner will stop running about an hour after Epcot closes, well, after whatever the nighttime fireworks show is or will be. About an hour after that, the Skyliner stops running. So you have to keep that in mind. But let's say you're walking around about 5:30, 6 o'clock at night. You want to try something a little different. You're tired of walking around Epcot. Like you said, it's a 5-6 minute walk over to the boardwalk area from the International Gate. And it's very comfortable. There's lots of seating around in some off space areas.
And very, very friendly ducks.
Yes. We walked through there mid-afternoon. There's not a lot going on out there, but that was actually good because it gave me the time to look around and take some of the sights in.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, the view of the lake at that point, Crescent Lake is beautiful.
It is. It really is.
And you can see the beach club and the yacht club and all that across the way. And it just adds to the view.
Yeah, it is absolutely beautiful no matter what resort you are staying at. And yeah, the boardwalk is a little more quiet during the day, but it's still a lot of fun to be out there. And they have some really unique places to eat. So, you know, if you want adult beverages, Abracadabra is really fun, of different secrets and fun drinks. And there's some really cool menu items that trigger different sort of things that happen in the bar. So definitely check that out if you're looking for that kind of a fun night. It's kind of gives me a little bit of a speakeasy vibe in there. It's supposed to be like a magician's hideout. So really fun. And they've got some small plates. They've got some really yummy fries that have like Parmesan cheese and truffle cheese sauce and some other stuff on them. They're supposed to be amazing. Within the boardwalk, on the boardwalk inside, is the Bellevue Lounge. And it is very, you know, 1920s themed, 1930s themed. It's so cozy and warm and nice. So if it is raining, oh my goodness, that is a wonderful place to be. They play radio shows from the 30s and 40s.
Right.
They've got board games that you can just take out off the shelf and sit down and play, you know, big comfy chairs for reading. It's kind of like a library. They do serve breakfast there in the mornings, and then it is a bar in the evenings. Just really, really a great space. They have Jelly Rolls, dueling piano bar, which is a lot of fun if you want to, you know, go.
That one has a cover charge, right?
It's $18. Yeah. And it's open from 7 to 1:45. But if you want a seat, then you need to get there a little bit early. And they play piano music from the 70s through the 90s. So really fun at something different. You know, if you're looking, if you go to Disney a lot, you know, like we do, you want something different to do, something unique. That would be a really fun night out. You go to Abracadabra and then just kind of head over there. They've got Boardwalk Joe's is a margarita stand. It's just kind of like a kiosk on the boardwalk. They have the boardwalk pizza window. I actually think that pizza's not bad. And you can just go up and order it and then take it to your outside table and sit down by the lake and just enjoy it. They have boardwalk ice cream. Feed it to the ducks. They have eaten the crust. Probably not the healthiest. Sometimes I feed them like my salad. If I get salad, they like that too, but they prefer pizza. Boardwalk ice cream has, if you don't want to make it over to Beaches and Cream, or the wait's too long, or you didn't get reservations, it's not bad over there. They've got a Thundering Surf peanut butter and chocolate sundae. And that's pretty good. So you can try that out.
You got me at peanut butter.
Yeah, they've got Boardwalk to Go, which is like their new corn dog stand, and they've got corn dogs and hot dogs and chicken tenders. So food that you would get on the boardwalk.
Sure.
They've just opened up a coffee shop inside the lobby. If you're staying there and you just want coffee and pastry, that's on the DVC side. And they've got the Boardwalk Deli. I really like eating at the Boardwalk Deli. They have a great bakery case. And it used to just be the Boardwalk Bakery, but now they've expanded it to serve a little bit more of, you know, sandwiches and things like that. You're not going to get, it's not a restaurant, but you will be able to get some pretty good sandwiches. Their everything bagel sandwich is really good. The breakfast sandwich is excellent too, if you just want something really quick to grab and go. I like the chicken salad wrap. It's rotisserie chicken and grapes and walnuts and mayo and a spinach wrap. There's also a warm pastrami Reuben. So it's very much deli food. And again, you can sit outside and eat. And I like their cannoli. The Italian girl will eat. I eat a lot of cannoli for breakfast at Disney. So Boardwalk Deli is a great place to pick them up. They have, you know, in addition to that, sit-down restaurants, and we've talked about these before, Big River Grill. And I would choose other places, but if you like, if you want a unique beer, it is an actual brewery. So if you're into that microbrewery kind of vibe, then check that out. Flying Fish. I've heard mixed reviews lately. It's generally really good, but I've heard a few complaints lately. So I'm not sure what's going on there. But if you eat seafood, that might be a place that you would want to look at. It's generally excellent. Trattoria El Forno. Now, that used to be a character meal. I don't think that has come back yet at breakfast. It is a classic Italian restaurant. It has an open kitchen. It's good, but honestly, if you're not there for the character breakfast, head over to the Swalfin and go to Il Molino. That's better Italian food. And then, like I said, the Cake Bake Shop is opening, and that should be open this year. So
I have a feeling that that's going to be a popular place to run Disney events, because those people are going to get done running. They're going to be heading right over there.
Oh, well, yeah, if I ran, you know, then I would. I don't have that excuse, but I will be there anyway. You can get whole cakes there, but that should be open by the end of the year. So, you know, you do have to go outside to get food at Boardwalk, which is a bummer if it's raining, but the food's really good and worth it. And the atmosphere is incredible at night. It's just so much fun. You know, you can rent a Surrey bike and, you know, ride all the way to Beach Club and back. And it just really does give you that kind of laid back resort vibe. They've got a big green space area in between the DVC side and the Boardwalk Inn, which is where they show movies, and kids just run and play. They have a really fun pool area. They used to have these Stephen King's It Clown pool slide, which I loved, even though his eyes lit up at night. They replaced it. It's called the Keister Coaster now, and it's got the new version of Mickey and Minnie and Friends on it. It's still a fun slide, but I really do miss the scary clown. It's a great pool. Is it, you know, the same as Stormalong Bay? No, but it is a fun pool. Boardwalk also has a quiet pool, as does Beach Club, because it is a Disney Vacation Club resort. And that is just, it's so picturesque and pretty. It is around the backside, and that is where the Boardwalk honeymoon cottages are. Those are not DVC rooms, although they do have like a downstairs. They're very similar to a DVC studio in that they have the microwave, but they're prettier. So if you are going to do a honeymoon at Disney World, check these out, because they are so cute, and they really are little cottages with little white picket fences and their own little gardens. And honestly, there's nothing more adorable. And Here with the Ears just stayed in there, so go check their video out on YouTube, because they just reviewed several of the cottages and they are just super fun. I wish they were DVC, because I really want to stay at one. I think they're considered concierge level, so that would be my recommendation if you were going to Disney on a honeymoon, would be one of the Boardwalk cottages. They're really cute.
I may have to keep that in mind, because I think I've got somebody who's going to have a wedding soon. And if I know her,
Yeah.
She may just want a Disney honeymoon.
Yes. Well, those are, they're my top choice. So go ahead and head over and look at those videos and make sure you check the refurbed ones, because there's a lot of them with the older ones, but here with the years, I think they just did this last week. So Josh and Alyssa gave a great tour. Definitely go check that out. Yeah. They've got a really nice, big, huge community hall because it is DVC. It's just one of my favorite resorts. And again, all the transportation options apply.
All right. We're going to traipse over to the Swan and Dolphin. I don't remember which one you come to first, but I don't know that it matters.
The Dolphin's the triangle one, and the Swan is the semicircle one. And gosh, I hate this architecture. My apologies to Michael Graves. I love his teapot designs and other things, but I just don't think it fits.
The problem with them is you can see them from everywhere. When you come across on the Skyliner, they show up.
Yeah.
No matter where you're going.
Don't get me started.
You can see them from the Hollywood line. You can see them from the Epcot line. You can see them before you get to Caribbean Beach from Pop or Art. I mean,
they are omnipresent. Like a sore thumb. Yes. Yeah, they are. You can see them from Epcot, and that really, really bothers me. It's like Michael Eisner just totally forgot about sight lines, or I'm hoping that he wasn't there and didn't see what was going on until it was too late, but I don't know if I can excuse that either. They're just, you know.
But from what I understand from the YouTube tours that I've taken with a couple of folks, Magical Hijinks being my top one because she's been on our show. She does really good reviews. Once you get inside, they're not that bad.
Oh, no, they're lovely. The lobby is they're very, very nice. They're owned by Marriott. The lobby is beautiful. The rooms are very nice hotel rooms. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not Disney themed. It's an elegant lobby, and it's, you know, you can stay.
They have an almost more of a corporate feel to them from what I've seen.
Yes, I think so. I definitely think so. It's a little sterile, but, you know, it's a better price point. And so if you want
to
stay. That's
the selling thing for them right now.
Completely. The guest rooms are fine. They're fine. I hear the mattresses are incredibly comfortable. Yeah, so it's very, very comfy. They have suites. You will be able to stay there, and you will not be paying what you would be paying at any one of the other hotels at Crescent Lake. Also, you can get on the Friendship boat. You can access the Skyliner. You can do everything that you would do at any of the Disney-owned Crescent Lake resorts, except pay the expensive price for the rooms. You can get some great deals at the Swan and Dolphin. You can also, if you're like a Marriott points person, you know, that works there. You can absolutely get a much better deal. The pools are, you know, they're plain, they're kind of boring. And so if you don't care, if you're like, you know what, I just want to be able to get into Disney, to stay in a very nice, comfortable space and pay half the price, then I would definitely take a look at the Swan and the Dolphin.
One thing I want to point out is the transportation there is slightly different.
Yes.
Yes, you still have access to the Skyliner. If you want to walk over a Skyliner, you still have access to the Epcot and Hollywood Studios area boats. That's fine. But if you need to go to a park by way of bus, they are not using Disney transportation anymore. They have hired their own, which I believe is run by Mears, but I don't know for sure. So don't take that to the bank to cash it.
Yeah.
But 9 times out of 10, if they're using some kind of service around Orlando, it's probably Mears.
Yeah. And they do not operate as frequently as a Disney bus would. So what I would do is head over to the yacht club and use their buses. I know that's like not cool, but you may be waiting all day. I think they run like hourly maybe. And because there are so many transportation options on Crescent Lake, the buses aren't generally too crowded. I don't think it would be a big deal to go over to one of the other resorts and use their bus transportation.
Especially in the middle of the day.
Yeah. And if the bus is right there, great, take it. But they're not going to drop you off in the same location as the Disney buses do. You're going to be a little further removed when you get to the parks. You're not right there.
Especially at Magic
front.
Kingdom, because they drop you out at the TTC.
Yeah.
Which to me is not necessarily a drawback, depending on when I'm going in to Magic
Correct.
Kingdom.
Unless it's first
because,
thing in the morning.
Let's face it, the ferry boat and the monorail are attractions in their own right.
They
I
are.
Like the ferry boat. I don't ride it that much anymore.
It's a bit of a cattle call, but yeah.
Yeah.
They herd you on there and you do feel.
Well, they've added that second level
like
loading,
cattle.
So they can load and unload in a hurry.
They can. So. But that is a drawback. The rooms don't have balconies either, near as I can tell. All Disney resorts do. Some of them may. It depends. I have to kind of look. Yeah. I'm just not super familiar with them. I guess a few do, but it's not necessarily standard on either one of those resorts. So if you are into that, I guess the Swan does have some, and I imagine that is probably some of the more expensive rooms. You can definitely take advantage of everything the Epcot resorts have to offer. You can eat at any of their restaurants, and you can certainly go over to the boardwalk. You cannot use their pools because you have to tap in with your Magic Band right. or your key card to get into any of the pools in the deluxe resorts. And the transportation options are a teensy bit limited there. Now, however, the Swan and the Dolphin have some great dining options that I would go out of my way to go and eat at. So mm-hmm. Il Mulino is one of, it's honestly, I think it's the best Italian restaurant on property. It's just delicious food. It's well presented. It's not horribly expensive, and it's a great kind of space for either families or, you know, for just a couple's dinner. It's just very right. pretty. So it's very traditional Italian cuisine. It's not super overpriced. I would definitely try that. They used to have Shula's. I don't know if Shula's is still there.
I'm on their actual website, and yes, it's listed.
Okay, so that's another good option for steak. Might even be better than the Yachtsman. Those are the two restaurants that I would recommend going over there for. Mm-hmm. Some of the others, I'm not sure they're any better than any kind of Disney restaurant.
If that's where you're staying, they're definitely worth something to look
totally.
Into.
Totally, yes, because it's very convenient. They're not overbooked. You can generally get a pretty good reservation. And they have a good variety. They have Italian, they have steak, they have Todd English's Blue Zoo, they mm-hmm. have Mexican Rose's Mexicano, and they have Kimono. So you get a really good variety of cuisine, which
yes,
is kind of cool. I mean, Kimono's is sushi and Kobe beef, and that's giving you quite a few more options than your standard Disney resort hotel. So definitely check out the dining there.
They also have their own version of Food and Wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually just a weekend.
Right. It's very popular.
I don't know if it's like it this year, but I know in the past they've had like two levels of purchases you can make.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not into alcohol, it's less expensive.
Yeah.
I think it's like a $30 or $40 difference between levels. So if mm-hmm. you're doing alcohol, then it's a different price. But I hear some really good things about that. And any of us that know anything about Lou Mangiello knows that he checks anything out that has to do with food, and he loves this one.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, again, there's another fun option for you. Crescent Lake is just loaded with really a lot of fun, different entertainment and food choices, and is one of my favorite places to stay when I'm in Disney World. Honestly, you cannot go wrong with any of these resorts. And if you stay at Swan and Dolphin, you're going to save yourself some money.
And I may have to actually look at that. That might be a way I could find my way down there a little sooner.
Of course. So. Yeah.
Well, I know that was kind of a quick run through on all those resorts, but we've talked about a lot of the different aspects at length in previous tours. So feel free to go back through the archives and dig those out. Give them a listen. We'd love to have your feedback on those as well. Diane, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Of course. Always fun.
And folks, we will see you again next time. Thanks again, Diane.
See ya.
Thank you for being with us for this tour of Disney Conversations. We'd love to hear what you have to say, so jump over to our Facebook page and let us know what you're thinking. Or you can contact us directly at DisneyConversations@outlook.com, and we'll be happy to answer your email. Next week, we're going to talk about a very interesting subject, and that is split stays. I hope you'll be with us then. Until next time.
PTFN, ta-ta for now.